Anyway, we're going to be speaking on the next several days on friendship, intimate friendship within the marriage. And I just want to say, I know we've got some singles out there, and I've been here as a single, and I remember sitting there going through the marriage and family thinking I'd really like to have a spouse to share this with, but I appreciate that you're willing to come and sit here and listen. And one of the things that kind of was my goal as a single was trying to learn how I could better myself as a potential, you know, future husband or wife. So I just encourage you to sit here through this and to try to figure out, you know, if God's going to bring you another spouse, where can I improve myself and better myself to be as prepared as possible? So Lord, thank you for our time this morning. We thank you for the institution of marriage. It was your idea. We thank you for creating us male and female and be compatible with one another spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And just thank you for our little bit of time here this morning to, as your spirit moves amongst us, and that our hearts will be open to how you choose to move in each of us individually. So we thank you for our time that we gather in your precious name. Sweet Jesus, we pray. Amen. Are you ready? So we're going to be talking about how can two walk together and not be in agreement? How can two walk together and not be in agreement? And, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words. And I think these first three photos do a pretty good job of depicting the three levels of how can two walk together and not be in agreement. So, I wish it were a little bigger, but what you got here, this guy looks really pretty content. I think he's pretty happy with the situation. And his wife, as you can see, you can't see her eyes, but that's not the look of love. Okay? It is a look of disdain, because she's not happy with that at all. So the next one. Sorry. So here's the next one. We're getting a little closer. I think they're walking in agreement. And they got a little intimacy going on. They're holding hands. I'm not sure the guy quite figured out how to best serve his wife, but they, I don't know if they're in agreement or not, but they're moving closer. And then the next one, I think they're getting close to figuring it out, okay? Got a little intimate kiss going on. They've just finished a little project together, so I think they're enjoying an intimate moment. But we'll call this joint accomplishment. So, sorry, I'm getting used to this clicker. Okay, Amos 3:3, how can two walk together and not be in agreement? So, this all starts with God and his desire to reconcile the broken relationship between he and man. And he does this through Jesus Christ. I think we all understand that Jesus Christ came into the world and God was going to reconcile the relationship. So God did what he needed to do through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection to reconcile, and then he put it in our court to decide whether or not we want to enter into that reconciliation. And so it's through Christ that the husband and wife seek friendship and intimacy. But as we come into relationships with one another, we've got a lot of stuff going on. And I've listed a number of things here. We've got our fallen nature, our childhood of origin, our personality, preferences, convictions, unmet needs, hurts, anger, resentment. And you got the enemy in the mix of all of that. And these hinder our intimate fellowship with one another and our friendship between a husband and wife. So you bring this two individuals with all of this going on, how in the world are you going to make an intimate friendship work? Well, it's going to go back to through Jesus Christ. Okay? I mean, he has said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? But we do. We try to do some things apart from him. We try to be a husband, try to be a wife apart from him, and we can run into some struggles. So we bring those in, and so in friendship there's both agreement and disagreement. Because we've just got two individuals here that are going to see life very differently. And how are we going to work through the differences that we have with one another? All right? And how we agree to walk in genuine fellowship in spite of our differences and in spite of how we're uniquely, wonderfully created in God's image. How are we going to do this? It's very important how we work through these disagreements and our differences. Terry and I were first married. I had Casey and Tyler. Terry had no children. And so as I would have issues come up with Casey and Tyler, I'm thinking, well, Terry doesn't have any children. She really doesn't have much to offer in the way of counsel. So I run off to my spiritual father. And he gives me some counsel, and I go back to Terry, and I say, what do you think we ought to do? What's the exact same counsel? So this happens about four or five times, and I finally get it. And I said, God, look, I said, something's going on here. He said, well, Gary, he said, you don't honor Terry, okay? You think just because she doesn't have children that she can't give you counsel on how to handle this. He goes, this is your number one relationship on this earth, okay? You need to honor this relationship above all others, and you're not doing that right now. And I said, God, I get it. I understand what you're saying. And I asked, do forgive me. And so then I learned that I would start going to Terry. And if we needed counsel outside of that, then we would get counsel. And we're also praying about how we best move through this. So that was the lesson I had to learn in just walking in agreement with her. Because I was not including her in this because I didn't think, you know, women have an intuition, I think, that the men don't. And I think we got to learn to trust that and kind of tap into it. So we're going to look at a passage that everybody's familiar with. And the central truth is that God intended for us to develop and have an intimate friendship, to be one with our spouse in spirit, soul, and body. Our soul would also be emotion. And this is a verse that, you know, a lot of you are familiar with. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. You know, God had created a lot of animals and brought them to Adam. But Adam still was alone, and God recognized this. And so he created Eve to remove his aloneness. Because with Eve, he could be spiritually, emotionally, and physically intimate in one, which he couldn't have that with the animals. And I'm sure, I'm speaking from a guy's perspective on this thing, okay? But I'm sure when God brought Eve to Adam, he was going, wow, this is a beautiful creature that you have brought for me and you have made for me. Okay. So God removed Adam's aloneness, and he's wanting them to experience ultimate. But, you know, we've got, as you think back to the other thing, they weren't bringing as much in as we bring in, okay? They had a pretty clean slate to start with, right? So, but it didn't take long for it to go down. And then this is one that a lot of you are familiar with, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, the two are better than one. They have a good return for their work. They help each other. They can keep warm. They can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So it's good to have a spouse. It really is good. You know, there are a lot of benefits to having them. Amongst all the struggles we have, there's still a lot of good things and positive things that we can derive from a relationship as opposed to being single. And then again, I think this goes back to Jesus Christ. A cord of three is not easily broken. Jesus Christ has got to be in the midst of this for us, okay? As often as possible, that we can make this as successful a relationship as we can, working in concert with Jesus Christ to help us in all of those things that we looked at earlier. We just cannot overcome that stuff apart from Jesus Christ. It's there, and we need him. Let's see here. What does intimacy look like? Well, this is just some ideas of spiritual intimacy, what it might look like in your relationship. It may involve praying together, spending time in the Word together, being involved in a ministry together. Emotional intimacy or friendship may involve sharing lifelong dreams, desires, no matter how far out they are, how crazy they may seem, feeling the freedom to express your deepest feelings and emotions. That's a big one right there, being able to get to that point. Developing common or mutual interests. Physical intimacy involves caring touches, affectionate, non-sexual embraces, tender words, passionate union. Bear with me on the clicker. So I want to take just a moment and talk about spiritual intimacy and the value that I think is there. And I'm not speaking on this just because I'm a guy on this physical intimacy. As Terry and I have met with men, women, and couples, one of the things that we've observed over time is that if a couple is struggling with their physical intimacy, what we have found is they're struggling spiritually and they're struggling emotionally. It's just been an observation. I'm not saying it's like that in every relationship. It's just been an observation. And so I think that this is important, that couples can learn to, if they're struggling here, that they can learn to, you know, to work through it. And I understand, too, that, you know, if you're struggling in this area, there's a number of things, number of reasons, you know, that can be at play here. And they're all legitimate reasons. Some medications can cause problems in this area. Unmet needs, hurt, our childhood of origin, bad experience in physical intimacy. Life circumstances. Sometimes you're just in the midst of a really difficult period of life. Okay? And that can also affect it as well. I understand that. Seasons of life, you know, that you go through, different seasons in the marriage. You got toddlers, you know, and then you go through the grade school, and you got your teenagers, you know, and then you get into midlife, and your bodies begin to change, okay? And it just, you know, things are going on, and so I think we've got to figure out, you know, in this area of physical intimacy, if you're struggling, be willing to sit and talk about these things. And if one is struggling more than the other, I would encourage the one spouse to be compassionate and be understanding. There may be some frustration, but don't take the frustration out on your spouse. Try to understand where they're coming from. There's a reason is that we were created by God, for God, and for others. We were created for others. But our fallen nature fights that. So as we interact with our spouses, the mindset, I am created for him. I am created for her. And how can I begin to live that out? Well, we live that out through Jesus Christ. Because that was his whole life. It was about pleasing the Father. And he was created for others and serving others. So I have a little quick story on affectionate non-sexual embraces. David and Treva Ferguson were our marriage and family teachers years ago. I'm talking in the early 90s, and I'm sitting out here as a single, and Dave Ferguson brings up non-sexual affectionate touching. He goes, guys, I know you probably don't think that is even true or that even can happen, but it is a true thing. He said, just because your wife touches your arm, grabs your hand, puts her arm around you, gives you a kiss, gives you a hug, brushes your foot in the bed, that does not mean she wants you. Okay? I'm just trying to help you understand that that's not necessarily what's going on, but I know you think that that's what's happening. So Terry and I have been married probably 8 or 9 years, and our routine in the morning when I leave is a hug and a kiss. Well, on this particular morning, we kissed, but Terry, you know, gives me a little bit of an unusual hug. She comes in real close and real tight, you know. Puts her arms all the way around me and just pulls me in real tight. And you know what I'm thinking, okay? I'm thinking she wants me, okay? So I go to work, And I'm thinking about this all day, and I'm thinking about things that she's got me thinking. It's good that she's thinking about this, because she needs a little more time to get ready for this than I do. So I get home that evening. We go through our normal routine with the boys. We get them to bed. I go brush my teeth. I get in the bed. Terry comes in, smiles at me, brushes her teeth, goes back to the kitchen. I can hear her piddling around. She goes upstairs, checks on the boys. She comes back, and then she smiles at me. She takes her contacts off, puts her pajamas on. She goes back to the kitchen. I'm wondering what's going on. Okay, she comes in. She went to get her glasses. She puts them by the bed. She goes back to the kitchen. I'm going, Lord have mercy, what are you waiting on? So she comes back in with a glass of water. She gets in bed. She rolls over just like in the morning. It's up real close to me. I'm thinking, okay, this is great. She gives me a little kiss. And she looks at me and she goes, do you mind if I read? And I said, read? I said, did I hear you right? She goes, yes, I want to know if I can read for a little while. I said, Lord, I get it. It was a non-sexual affectionate hug this morning. And she was not thinking about this at all, probably all day. So I said, that's fine. And I rolled over and cried myself to sleep. Anyway, gentlemen, it's true. It happens. There is such thing as non-sexual affectionate embraces. Okay? So, but I still default, you know, at times to the other thinking that she wants me. So. All right, ways to develop intimacy. There's four of these that we'll be talking about this week. The first one is affectionate caring. It says, I care about you. Caring involves reassuring your spouse, showing fondness, concern, and attentiveness. The second one is vulnerable communication. I trust you. Trusting is the aspect in a relationship that risks being open about one's feelings, needs, and hurts. Joint accomplishment says, I need you. This area of closeness comes from not only enjoying doing something together, but also includes the spiritual, emotional, and physical. I'm sorry. Thank you. And then mutual giving says, I love you. Characterized by two people who think more highly of themselves, and the focus is on giving. And you know, I realize some of these are going to be just harder for some of us. Some of us are, you know, maybe some of the guys are just not wired in the physical realm, and that's a real struggle for us at times. Trust, that's a pretty big deal. It's amazing if you betray trust once, how difficult even one time it can be to regain that trust again. You got to work pretty hard. So we'll be looking at these, and these four, as I've talked about, undergird the spiritual, emotional, and physical intimacy that we're wanting to achieve. Affectionate caring. So caring involves reassuring your spouse, showing fondness, concern, and attentiveness. Some examples that show you care about your spouse, and again, these are just some examples. Give your undivided attention when he or she is talking. Plan a date night. Pray for each other as circumstances arise. Call just to say you are thinking about them or you love them. You're willing to do something that they really like and have a good attitude. So Terry's going to share a story about
it. Hello. Yeah. Okay.
Just pull it out. Yeah, there you
okay.
go.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. On thinking about them or calling, you know, to say that you love them, this has probably been 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I was sitting at my kitchen table with another lady, and we were actually doing Operation Timothy during the day, and the phone rang, and so I didn't get it since we were meeting, and he called home or something instead of my cell phone. Maybe it was longer than 10 or 12 years ago. And so the recorder comes on, and it's Gary. And he says, "Hi, I was just calling to tell you that I was thinking about you and that I love you, and I look forward to seeing you tonight." And so my friend in there goes, "Oh, you know," that just blew her away. And of course, I felt the same way. And so that recording is still on my machine, and I play it every now and then, and it means a lot. So I'm here to tell you guys, it might not seem like much, but that 3-second phone call and message that he left me is still on my machine 10, 12, 15 years later. So I encourage you to do something like that for your spouse.
But I think the flip would be well, too. Some guys, you know, we have a need for words of affirmation, and we probably like to hear those kinds of things as well. So it's not just, you know, the guys or the women, but also for the ladies, encouraging their husbands to say, "I care about you," whatever that might look like. So on the flip side, another story, you're willing to do something they really like and have a good attitude. Terry really likes massages. She carries a lot of stress tension in her neck and shoulders. It's like this right here. And over the years, you know, she likes just a 10 or 15 minute, you know, massage. If you've ever done massages, you know, and about 5 minutes in, your thumbs and your hands are just burning, you know. And I start, you know, it's amazing getting to get your body temperature up, start sweating a little bit. But my problem is, and this is my issue, because I don't have the attitude that I was created for her in this. This is all about Gary. Because Gary's not making, I'm thinking to myself, there's no way in 10 or 15 minutes I'm going to make any progress. It's not going to loosen up. It's going to be as tight as it was before. And so I have a bad attitude about this. And over the years, you know, where it's gotten to, because Terry knows my attitude's not great about it, is that when she does ask, she asks kind of sheepishly, she goes, "Do you mind giving me a few neck squeezes?" And I'll say, "Sure, I don't mind giving you a few neck squeezes. But I probably really do, because I'm not making any progress with this." But anyway, it's just, I guess what I'm saying to you in this is doing something they really like and have a good attitude about it, you know, because it means something to her, okay? It just feels good. She knows it's not going to get worked out, you know, in 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. That's not the point, you know? It just feels good, and it does help take some stress off of her muscles. So that's just an area that I've really, really struggled with. And hopefully someday I'll switch over to that I was created for her in neck massages and not for myself. So what I'd like you to do on the handout, we have this, and I want to take a minute. How would you complete this sentence? And I feel cared about when you. So take a minute, think about it, write something in there, and then share it with your spouse. If you still need more time to think about it, then we'll carry it on outside of here. So we've looked at the positive side of this. We're now going to look at, however, caring can be hindered by hurting one another, which looks like anger, bitterness, or resentment. So this is a negative side to "I care about you." And I really encourage you, if you struggle in the area of anger, bitterness, and resentment, you know, this stuff comes out of unmet needs. Unmet needs comes out of hurt, unresolved hurt. Okay? And in Psalm 66:18, David's speaking, and he says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me." So if I'm hanging on to this, to bitterness, anger, and resentment, okay, I think your fellowship with God is going to be struggling. So it's very important that we learn to keep short accounts with one another, not let this stuff hang on You know, sometimes too, this anger, bitterness, and resentment, it's like drinking poison hoping the other person's going to die. Okay? And that's just the way it works. Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So, as I mentioned, we've got to deal with this. You've got the flesh sitting there, and you've got Christ, the virtues of Christ, tenderhearted, kind to one another, forgiving one another, in God as Christ forgave you. Okay? Again, this goes back to we're created for others. Okay? But we get hung up on ourselves. Okay? And that's a struggle right there between the flesh and the virtues of Christ and the life of Christ that He wants to live through us. Think about how you hinder that life. What do you do that hinders the kindness? What do you do that hinders the tenderheartedness? What do you do that hinders forgiving one another, those virtues of Christ? That He wants to live that life through us, and we're hindering it. And God is saying, you need to get rid of that. Some examples how caring maybe hindered might look like. When I'm trying to share something important to me, and your attention is divided, or you seem uninterested. When my caring affection is rejected or not appreciated. Resentment, when you belittle or dismiss me when I'm expressing my feelings or my emotions. Learning to deal with emotion to emotion, learning to have that active listening. If you ever, you're having a conversation with your spouse and they're talking to you, and it's something that might be important, and you're sitting there thinking how you're going to respond to them. You know? Are you really listening to what they have to say? I do this all the time. I'm sitting here thinking about how I want to respond to Terry. Okay? Instead of really understanding what it is she's having to say. So it's learning, and this is tough, learning to how you deal with emotion to emotion, because a lot of times we want to deal with logic. We want to try to fix it. Okay? We want to try to control it. We want to try to manipulate it. Okay? And they're not asking for any of that. They're just asking, will you listen to me? Will you listen to what I have to say here? This is important to me. So as we wrap this up, just take a minute. And now would you complete this sentence? I don't feel cared about when you. I don't feel cared about when you. That's all we're going to cover this morning. So we've talked about affectionate caring. And tomorrow we'll get into the other three. Vulnerable communication, which says I trust you. Joint accomplishment says I need you. Mutual giving says I love you. Okay? And it's important. These are important to your spouse, that they believe you care about them, that you trust them, you need them, and love them. So, thank you again for your time this morning. I really appreciate it. It's a privilege to be with you.